with you, Rob?
Good. I think things are going well. How about you?
They're going good. Just trying to, this week's going to be a little busy, but that's good.
I did a webinar on use of LinkedIn, and
Yeah, I
I
saw.
learned.
How'd that go?
Good. We had, I don't know, 60 people or something. It was fun.
Yeah.
The other one we did on with Bill Gates had 360, so that was big.
And how do you come across these people?
These consultants.
Yeah, how do you meet with the consultants that you partner with on these?
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to form a mastermind group of these guys.
Oh,
They're,
that's cool.
don't you think?
Yeah.
I think you should do the same thing.
Of advisors?
No, of people that are advisors to you and
Oh.
advisors to advisors. People like wholesalers.
Sorry, I'm just knocking this last one out real quick. Don't want to make an error on this. Thousand shares, 1750 limit, good till cancel. Yada yada. Okay. Right, and our first order filled at 1846, by the way.
Okay. Who are
Why do you wholesalers?
well, because they're kind of a secret gold mine of information.
Yeah.
They know a lot, they get no credit, and nobody loves them. So find somebody that you do a lot of business with, that you like and trust, and make him a part of your mastermind group.
What do you think they would bring to the group?
Well, what they bring to me and to you is information and intelligence and clients. I mean,
Yeah.
they know people, right? They need people
Yeah.
all
It's been hard front. It's been like a carousel. Seems like wholesalers are not sticking around like they used to.
But aren't there really some steady ones?
A few, like the American Funds one, Bob Hardick, he's still there. Other than that, I don't know. There was so much fee compression a couple years ago. You saw a lot of companies either reassign regions or they would get rid of their either wirehouse and independent and just reassign so one person's in charge of them all. But we saw a lot of shakeup in that arena and some of our really long-term, like the company that we do a lot with, I think we're on our third advisor in like 3 years, third wholesaler in 3 years.
Who's that? What firm?
It's Western Asset, Legg Mason, and they now got bought out by Franklin Templeton.
Okay.
So I haven't even met the new guy yet. And it's hard right now too, 'cause it's not like they can just stroll into our office and meet with us.
Yeah, but you can zoom them, see?
Yeah.
So just think Zoom, don't think anything else. What can we do to, that's why I love mastermind groups now. I can create a
Yeah.
mastermind group and I don't have to go to lunch or dinner. And I don't have to do shit. I can just zoom them and we can get
Yeah.
everything done in an hour. You see? It's brilliant.
It's easy.
Yeah. So who else? Who do you do business with? Any like Winslow or any of those guys?
Not really. Not a ton.
How about MFS?
It's been.
I mean,
yeah, we still use their a little bit. We don't. Maybe that's something that we need to do better, but from a time standpoint, we don't interact that much with wholesalers. I mean, if we need something, we reach out to them and get it, but.
Yeah. I want you to change. Okay. These guys are a coal mine and they don't have anybody to talk to and they don't, nobody treats them like humans. So, they will refer business. They'll give you clients. It's a really easy way to get clients. Because they meet people all the time. Right?
Interesting. Yeah.
I mean, it's like your manager. Your manager has to give clients to someone. Who's he giving them to? What number are you guys on his list?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's gotten so narrow, it seems like all the referrals go to one or two teams. And not us.
Who's that?
My assumption is that they go to Paymentsias and that they go to, were you around when Justin Smith started?
Yeah.
So he started with, oh, who, what, oh, they had a really big team. Was he partnered with anybody when you were at Merrill?
Yeah, I hired Justin.
Justin partnered with
Chris Brook.
Chris Brook.
I hired Chris.
And that was a really nasty breakup.
Right.
That one got really ugly. But I think a lot of it goes to them too.
So Justin does well now, independently?
He's built out his own kind of team now.
Right.
He's got somebody that's a couple years older than me. And then he's got, like an FA that's more like a practice manager. They've got a good little gig, but yeah, I think Justin probably does a little bit over 2 million in production a year.
It's great. I should coach him. He's a fun
he's
guy.
Done, you should reach out to him.
I know. I should. Cause I'd like to coach him cause he's a smart kid and he's willing. He does what you do. He reaches out. He doesn't just wait, you know, he's prospering.
Yeah. That's what they're all about.
All right. So
I don't know. It's not like we've ever asked where the referrals go.
I think
my understanding also, now that we're downtown, we're out of that loop.
Yeah. That's another like reason you need to be in the loop.
Well,
you hear what you're saying?
Merrill rules.
Yeah, do you hear what you're saying to me? Your source of capital is out of the loop. Right?
Uh-oh, Rob Knapp's calling Linda Schmuddy. I think now that we're downtown, they, like when an advisor leaves the firm, we are not part of that process anymore. We don't get any clients when an advisor leaves the firm because we're downtown. We're completely disassociated with that Carmel office.
You don't get them because you don't ask for them. There's nothing geographic about a person being downtown. The clients live all over the city because you're not sitting in the freaking office with him. Doesn't mean that you should not get introductions.
Yeah. Well, I agree, but I have talked to Bob Smith about this, and I guess there was a really big lawsuit because an advisor sued the firm because they felt like they weren't getting their fair share of introductions. And it has gotten like there is no progression whatsoever. You follow the rule book and it tells you where the referrals go.
But not the personal referrals.
that's my understanding, is it's all the same. If they have a personal referral and they're, you know, a manager, they can't show that favoritism of selecting what team it goes to.
Who does it go to then?
So much has changed. There's a list. They have to work through the list. There's so much. It's crazy, the rules. There's nothing is like efficient. Everything is, you know, you have to do X, Y, and Z.
Okay.
Like our coffee maker. Our coffee maker broke last, and we couldn't even call the people directly, even though we have their phone number. We have to put it in a ticket that goes to HR, that goes to the technology team. That it's like it takes 2 weeks to do something that should take 6 hours.
I have three money managers, right? MFS, Winslow, and
I think it's just two.
And American Funds.
Where's American Funds?
I own a mutual fund, and they are one of the private money managers that I have.
Okay. As a mutual fund, yeah. I just look at the SMAs, so yeah, that's fine.
But I have an SMA or whatever. I have a money manager that's an American Funds subsidiary or something.
Sure. Okay.
That's correct, right?
I have to double check. I know you're two SMAs. I'd have to double check.
Anyway, all right. So tell me one that looks like, since American Funds are the Maytag repairmen, they don't do shit no matter what. then the only one is MFS. So yep. Who's the MFS wholesaler? That's the oldest mutual fund in the country.
Yeah, I'd even have to look that up if that tells you how much we do business with wholesalers. So it's definitely an opportunity there. Trying to find my email. Normally they spam you with email. I can't even find an email from them. I'm going to have to go in our archives here. Yeah, it's certainly an opportunity if I don't even know who the wholesaler is.
So who else would be good as part of your mastermind group?
I'm still working on getting a good accountant. That seems like it's getting harder and harder to find. I've got a really good estate planning attorney. I'm still working on an accountant. I had a guy and then he retired and he sold his book of business to like a firm that does wealth management and stuff like that. So I just nixed that one ASAP. So I need to work. I'm working on the CPA side. I met with a CPA that a couple of our clients used down in Greenwood, but he wasn't very impressive. So I didn't worry too much further about that.
Okay. Who would I have as my mastermind group? Well, I mean, you can do a traditional. I'm just trying to think of non-traditional. Who else services your industry?
Well, if you can get like a sports agent, that's huge.
Yeah.
That's just a pretty narrow market.
Yeah.
I don't know, Rob. That's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, there are some business brokers in in Indianapolis.
Yep. And I've tried to work through that a little bit. One of them is a Ball State alum. I haven't really seen anything on that front from a referral perspective. So I'm going to have to find another route there too.
Well, just keep in mind, you're not going to get anything if you don't meet with them.
Yes.
So you gotta set up a mastermind group to talk monthly, at least as a group. Now, the same with your centers of influence. You will not get business unless you talk to them monthly, at least. And you should have three of each of these. So you should have three commercial realtors, three business brokers, three CPAs, three estate planning attorneys, three corporate attorneys. You can have multiple attorneys because you can have divorce, you know, family law attorneys. You can have disability insurance, you know, disability insurance attorneys. So you can have multiples of each of the, you know, but what one of the things you got to do is you got to build your, you know, you're building your pipeline of clients and you're really good at that. You should be building your pipeline of centers of influence. So the ones that you like and you trust and they're giving you introductions, those you meet with monthly. The ones you're grooming, you meet with quarterly, and the other ones you meet semi-annual. So you always have three CPAs that you're working on all the time.
Yeah, that's definitely an area I need to build out because that's where I've struggled.
You should have three estate planning attorneys. Okay? It doesn't mean you need to refer to them, but you talk to them. And you get them ready because people retire and they screw up and they go to different places and, you know, whatever. And whenever you refer, you're supposed to refer to three people, especially if you're following Merrill Lynch's strict guidelines.
Yeah.
So you need three, right?
Yep.
You can't just refer them to a CPA. Now the business broker thing, I don't know about. I mean, but I do know that they make a living. So they must do enough deals to make a living. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they do well.
I think it depends on the firm. Yeah. If you get somebody that, you know, there's a larger firm in town called Indiana Business Advisors.
Yep.
And they do really well. I think they have no issue, but there's, you know, some smaller ones where it's just a few folks. And I agree. I think volume's an issue there. You know, one area that I've always thought was interesting where I've got a friend that does it. And we've talked a little bit off and on about it, but, commercial real estate.
Yeah.
My experience so far has been that commercial real estate investors more or less do only commercial real estate.
Well, you're not looking for that clients from him. What you're looking for is information. Okay, because they know everything that's going on in the community. So when the new CEO moves in, they know about it. They know when somebody's taking on more space and they know when somebody is going to do rollovers because they're moving out of town and they're going bankrupt.
Gotcha.
They're a great source of information. And I think they'd be a great source of clients, but until you do, you want to keep in mind your purpose is to do business with these people personally. And to make friends with them. Okay. Cause until you do that, then you're just another guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not their guy. So you want to become their guy. And you don't compromise your standards in terms of them being jerks or anything, but you may, you know, decide that $500,000 rollover is good enough. Doesn't meet your team's minimum, but he's a center of influence. I'll take care of him. I'll do 12-4-2 for him and so forth. Okay.
Yeah.
You gotta 77% of high net worth clients come to you through introductions from friends and other professionals.
Absolutely. I would agree with that. Most of the referrals are clients, friends.
So what you have to do is you've got to dedicate some time to doing the homework to get you a pipeline of professionals that will refer you. And I think once you've met with them and you've vetted them and you've decided they're good, then consider putting them in a mastermind group. You can always kick them out. You can always say the mastermind group's going to have a sunset provision. Every 6 months, we're going to disband and start over. So don't worry about signing up forever. We're just going to do it once a month for the next 6 months and see how it goes. And then if you don't get anything out of it, then they're out. Now that doesn't mean they have to give you an introduction. It simply means you have to get something from it. Meaning you have to get some value, intellectual capital, idea, something good. Remember, the whole UPS multi-zillion dollar asset gathering campaign we did when they went public came from a client of Rich Searle's telling me, hey, these guys in these brown shorts, they got a lot of money. They're going public. I knew him from my club, right? He was a client of Rich's. He's an attorney in town. He just happened to tell me that Rich was, comatose or whatever. He never paid attention, but I opened up teams in every market that did business with UPS and brought those assets in. Okay? And that all came from a center of influence.
Yeah.
In our market, right? So that was worth tens of millions of dollars to us. Tens and twenties and hundreds of millions. The average person if you were an officer working there, or you were any kind of person other than just a person delivering packages, you got $6 million.
Yeah, I remember because they mispriced those securities so bad.
Right. They got rich. All those guys got rich and they'd never been rich. So they all came to seminars and we fixed them. And then I did that in St. Louis. Anyway, the point is that information is as valuable as direct referrals. Okay. Knowing where the money is, what's happening. So a commercial realtor can be a goldmine. They know everything. So just think, if you had a meeting once a month on what's happening in Indianapolis, where is the money moving? It'd be so incredibly valuable to everybody.
Yep. Yeah, right? So I need to reframe what I'm considering as a successful meeting.
Right. A successful meeting is when you help somebody else. That's your measurement tool. Was I able to connect two guys that needed to be connected? Their success is, did I connect two guys that needed to be connected? Did I introduce somebody to somebody? That's everybody's success. And when you explain to them what you're doing, that's what you tell them you're doing. It isn't about me. This is about us. This is about making all of us more successful. By introductions through the group. And if you give enough, you'll get plenty. So the key is give to givers. I used to be give to get, and then it was give to give. Now it's give to givers. Because if you have takers, they'll never refer to you.
Yeah.
Right? But if you have all givers, they're the most, the biggest satisfaction they have is from helping you. So you've got to make friends with them, and you've got to, they got to become clients. So they see what you do for people, not just what you say what you do, but what you actually do. And then they've got to be givers. So you got to have givers, and your purpose of every meeting is to connect and to help and to solve problems. So you, everybody brings a good idea, and everybody, and then you focus on one person's practice and you learn all about their practice. So it's just like the YPO, young presidents. What they do is they work on projects. They will all work for a month on somebody's business and help them build a business plan or restructure their debt or something. So they'll help them with problems. And it's all confidential. And the same thing you do here. Everything is confidential. Everything is between us. And we're going to disclose what we're doing to each other so that we can be helpful to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And now do that. Now fast forward 20 years. Doing that for 20 years, what do you think the result would be?
Yeah.
Those guys would all be managing directors and important people in the community, and you would be their FA, right? Through all that. So you want to pick good guys.
Yeah. Absolutely.
See? If I had it to do all over again, I would have done this in a big way when I first got to town, into Indianapolis. Had I done that, I would have been a much better director. There's a few things that I'd do over. One of them would be to form a mastermind group of business leaders. And then I would have been much more helpful to you guys. I was helpful, but I helped you from, you know, give you a few referrals here and there, but I could have really been important in terms of the city had I done that.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, we'll keep building that out, see if we can turn that into something good. We've gotten some good referrals recently from some different endowments and foundations and things. So trying to get, you know, keep that ball rolling, but.
What are you doing with golf?
Not playing as much as I should be right now. I've been successful when I've gone out of bringing a client and asking them to bring, you know, a friend or, you know, whoever that is. I've got a couple clients that have standing, you know, golf outings that they play. So I need to get more involved with that for sure, but it's definitely forefront of my minds, and clients know that it's forefront of my mind. So they mention it to me, you know, when they're going out and who's going and things like that. So. It's been successful when I've gone. I just haven't leaned on it quite like I should.
Make a folder up and build a mastermind group around golf. Okay. So you want to think about that. You want to have all those things you're looking for, but they all play golf and they're all good.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, that'd be, make the weekly or monthly or quarterly meetings easy.
Right. And then you'd go to Whistling Straits and you'd go to Dunes together. And so don't make it painful. Like I said, you want to make friends, right?
Yep.
So between now and next month, this is your homework. I want you to pull together a mastermind group.
Okay.
It's so easy to do with Zoom, Tyler. This is a piece of cake. It's the easiest thing. And it's just a question of making the phone call and having the conversation.
Yep.
Right? You got the people. You just have to make the phone calls. You got Ball State. You got golfers. You got Ball State golfers. You've got, you know, that whole alumni, go to the coach and say, you know, who are your big, you know, who are the big contributors, right? For the golf team. What do they do? Who would be a good connection for me? I'm putting together a golf alumni, golf mastermind group. Who should I know? That's a great question, by the way. It's one of the greatest questions ever. Who should I know? Coach, who should I know? Oh, you need to know this guy. Tyler, you're in that business? Shit, you need to know this guy. What?
Yeah.
You don't know him? Okay, I'll introduce you. Have you done that?
Not as much as I should. I do have probably the biggest contributor to Ball State Golf as a client. So to some degree, but you know, you can always do better.
How many are there?
Big contributors. So I guess it's just the downside of a mid-major. There's not that many big contributors. There's a few. Ball State Golf program has been around since the 40s. So for them, it's more of a strength in numbers. There's a lot of contributors that give a fair amount, but there's a few big contributors.
What's big?
Like my client pledged, I want to say it was $500,000 over like five or 10 years.
That's a nice ticket.
Yeah. So things like that. And you know, golf naturally isn't going to get the donors that football gets or basketball gets or something like that, but
yeah, but
there's a few big ones still. Yeah.
And they're rich. I mean, you know, there's rich people everywhere, but golfers tend to have done pretty well. You know, they're competitive. They get it. They're interesting people. And you could be friends with all of them and you could play golf. And the old guys like me would love it.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. So that's something we've started getting Ball State alumni, and I've gotten more involved with that, together like once a quarter, and we do like Ryder Cup matches. Anybody will come back to campus. So that's been a nice way to get more involved.
You could also put together a Masters betting pool.
Yeah.
Right? Of Ball State golf, you know, Ball State and other golfers. I got a buddy that does it for Wake Forest.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. You know, you've seen how much fun I have. Been on two trips, one to Hawaii and one down to the Bahamas with a golf team. So much fun. And I met great guys, you know, and rich guys. Really rich guys. And they love Jerry, you know. They love Jerry Haas. They love the team. And, you know, it's a fun deal, right? It's a fun deal. It's more fun than tennis. It's more fun than anything. I don't think there's another sport that's as much fun to follow and get engaged with as golf. I mean, right?
Yeah.
So do they do that? Do they put together a sponsors thing to a tournament that's in a nice place?
Not yet. They haven't. That's something I can definitely do as well.
Right. We pay $10,000. And they give us a room. That's basically it. But we stay in a nice place, right? So they give you the room for 10 grand. And that's, you know, we pay for our own way there, but they make us feel, and they got the welcome package with all the gear, and you know, they make you feel like a hero, and you play two rounds of golf with the guy that won the tournament last year.
That's
shot a 61.
Oh, and wow.
He wasn't even on the regular lineup, you know, he was a add-on, right? He won the tournament. Had he been in the lineup, they would have won the tournament as a team.
Wow.
He won as an individual. Anyway, so you get two rounds. I played a round of golf with him and a round of golf, I think, with the coach. But anyway, it was a blast. The other guys are great. The families are great. you know, that you're going with, and it's money. I mean, for you, these guys are all rich, right? They like you. You were a golfer.
Yeah.
Love to play with you. So you figure out a way to get the money together and go get your boys to sponsor you.
Yeah.
And you go and support the team and be the guy, you know, be in charge of alumni affairs for the golf team.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Do stuff that's fun for you. You don't have to, this doesn't have to be torture, you know?
Yeah, I know. Sometimes that's what I make it. I make it so businessy that it's not, you know. So I know. I get so far down the rabbit hole.
Nobody wants that. Your prospects don't want that. They want somebody that's fun and that can, I mean, granted we have COVID, but keep in mind, COVID gives us this, right? COVID gives us the ability to talk without, I just talked to a guy, one of my clients in Brazil, right? I was there 5 years ago speaking in Palo Alto in Brazil and he called, you know, through LinkedIn, we reconnected and he wants me to do a series of webinars for his guys because he's had a training now. So it doesn't have to be painful, you know.
Yeah.
I told him I'm not coming. I love you, but I'm not coming to Brazil. But I will do webinars for you and I will coach your guys. So
sure.
He says, Rob, you're very, very famous in Brazil. I said, I wasn't famous in Carmel, Indiana, so I don't know how that's funny. Oh yeah, here's your book, you know. Everybody loves you.
That's great.
Isn't that funny? So anyway, okay. So have fun. Don't get sucked into down the rabbit hole or don't, you know, you've got a good thing going on there with those guys. You're doing it right. I understand that. But build your own practice too. You know,
right? Yep. I still have to get over the mindset of sometimes I feel guilty when I go play golf. You know what I mean? Cause I feel, and I just have to, it's something I've fought internally. I just have to get over it. Not there yet, but I've gotten better.
Yeah. Time block that as prospecting time. Make it a good use of your time, but give yourself every week a chance to play golf. Okay.
Yeah.
Every week, 4 hours. Goodbye.
Yeah.
It's leverage. I'm telling you, it's leverage. You know, cause you got to be dad at, you know, at home and you don't want to take the weekends, but you can, you know, take a Friday afternoon and go play golf.
Yeah.
Wednesday afternoon. Yeah, you know,
better about that.
Yeah, just force yourself to make it part of your rituals because it's good for you and it's good that they will love you for it.
Yeah.
And be very generous and, you know, you just be yourself. You're great at this.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, if you were, you know, I was always impressed with Jerry McMullen. He was such a good golfer and he became a completely different person on the golf course. When he was on the golf course, he was the most generous, caring, sensitive human being I've met. And I mean, he was so nice, help you out with your swing, you know, just so nice. And it wasn't that he wasn't a good guy in the office. He was. But he was completely a giving person when he was on the golf course, which you don't think of as a good golfer. You'd be like into yourself, right?
Yeah.
He was like your ultimate in terms of a pro. That would be very, very giving. So anyway, it always impressed me. And I always said, that's where, no wonder you play so much golf. You should. You're good at it as a human being, where Ted Boots was horrible at it. Ted should never have been allowed to play golf. It showed his worst side, you know. And yet he was very generous to me always, in every way. But God, I refused. I would not play golf with him.
That's so funny.
We would not. under any circumstances. I love it. Wow. I can't play. It was too upsetting for me.
Huh.
Just those two contrasts, right?
Yeah.
And one had the ability. I mean, just think of the talent of Ted and the acumen that he had and his understanding and knowledge of the business and all that versus Jerry, who was so great at the golf thing, but didn't have a clue how to make money for clients.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So Ted lost more accounts because of golf than he brought in.
Wow. Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
I made it a point last year to get out every other week, at least. This year,
running out of season, so go hustle.
I know. I need to catch up. So.
All right.
Hey, by the way, I pulled up your accounts because I didn't remember seeing an American Funds in there. You have like a Prudential Jennison Health Sciences Fund that's got like 145,000, but I don't see any American Fund in there.
I've got 88,000 of the New Economy Fund or the New Perspective Fund.
Hold on. Maybe I selected the wrong account group. Let me double check.
See, you can never play that game with Rob now.
He knows.
Well, he also looks at his account maybe four times a day.
Is that all?
Yeah.
Yeah. 88,000 of American Funds New Perspective. You've got a lot of that Prudential Jennison.
Yeah, I got 350,000 of that.
Maybe more. Yeah. Yep. You're spot on. Okay.
I also was fairly decent with remembering numbers.
Yeah. Impressive.
Yeah. Well, and you know, you get a pretty good sense of, it's very weird, your sense of the blink thing, you know, where you can kind of look at something and you go, that either smells good or it smells bad.
Yeah.
I can kind of tell, you know, that's why I like this, you know, Vertec. I kind of Vertive. It looked good. It smelled good. It was overpriced. But then again, most of the stocks I buy are overpriced anyway.
As long as they get more overpriced, who cares?
I think they've got an amazing market share. I think they have like 90% share.
I can tell you.
Everybody that comes through that door has to go through them. I think that's what I read. It was kind of amazing.
They must be so new. They're not even breaking out what country their revenue comes from yet. They're not even really sure.
Well,
comps.
Honeywell's a smart company.
Yeah, I like Honeywell still too.
It's kind of becoming a technology company, and that's all the industrials will eventually be. And this is probably, this looks like it fits beautifully into that, so.
Yeah, I don't know how well they are actually. Like when I look at comps, I don't know how well the system actually pulls comps because they're comparing them to Schneider Electric and Eaton and companies that aren't really in the same niche. So, it's hard to pull comps, I guess. It's hard to say.
Well, take another look at it. I think you might be impressed. It was, I think Barron's had the article on it. I'll go back.
Okay. I'll look it up.
It was impressive enough that I said, ah, ha, ha, I like this one.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, and we'll end up, you know, we want to own enough that it's worthwhile.
Yeah.
But if it takes off and we lose it, it's okay. We got a little tiny bit. All right.
We got 1,000 shares now, and we got the other one at 1750, so we'll keep an eye on it.
Yeah. Thanks, Tyler.
Thank you.
Stay well. See you.
Yeah. Bye.